podcast listeners. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Jason. I'm joined by Ashley. Together we own, operate, live at, and are thankful that the heat has broken here at La Tavola Marche Agriturismo and Cooking School in Pioco, Italia. This is the podcast from Italy. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao tutti.
So we fired up the microphones on this 13th of August at 8:15 in the morning, a Sunday. It's a quiet Sunday. The heat broke, so everyone is sleeping.
It feels like Sunday. We slept in.
Well,
I was supposed to say, we first woke up at like 4:30, 5, and could have gotten up, but it was like, oh, it's kind of cooler. It's Sunday morning. Let's try to fall back asleep for a little bit. Whew, felt like it was probably going on 8 o'clock. It was barely 7 when Gaji burst into our place and wanted to know why we were still sleeping and where's his coffee. So we jumped out of bed and headed into the kitchen, but still it was only almost a quarter to 7, but it felt like we slept in.
We have been enduring the heat wave that they have named Lucifer, and Lucifer has been hanging around all summer long, literally. We had a break of maybe a couple of days, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, where there was like a pause of...
It's been...
He wants up.
We got Boycat here disrupting the podcast.
It's been terrible. It has been in the 40s every day, which is well over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It's been dry with this wind that just sucks the life out of everything. This hot African...
It's
wind.
Like tumbleweeds, where the in the entryway, after it's been hot, this hot wind blowing, the grass is dead, kids are running around, whether it's being wet from the pool and bringing it in or just the wind blowing, it feels like all along the edges of the house, by the entry, it's just every morning I've got to sweep because it's like tumbleweeds are
dead
forming.
Grass, yeah.
Dead grass, and it's just hot, dry. And this little bit of rain we got, oh boy, it sure felt good. You could feel the whole, like, earth just sigh of relief. Thank God. They also said it was big talk because for the truffle season coming up, that if there's no rain by the Quindici Agosto, by August 15th, it would be an almost... disastrous truffle season. So they got the rain. We'll see what happens.
We didn't get that much rain. We got... a little bit of rain, but more importantly, the air changed,
yes.
And it's not that hot desert air anymore. So we have burned tomatoes, meaning literally the sun, it's been so hot that the sun burned one side of the tomato. So you'll have the tomatoes will be nice and red and ripe on one, and the other will be this like white.
Yeah, white. It looks like bleached out.
Yeah.
Burned or bleached out by the sun. Yeah.
Things have just been giving up. The pumpkins gave up. String beans do not work this year.
Not only the dead grass up by the house, but noticing the trees, the cherry tree, the apple tree, the freaking elderberry looks like it's the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Everything's losing its leaves. There's just not enough moisture to hold anything. And yeah.
It's been a rough summer.
It has felt like... Then in the evening, the temps still climb. Gaji said at 7 p.m. the other day, up in the mountains here, it was 42 degrees. And it was like, oh, my God. It felt like when the windows were open or the door was open and the wind would blow, it wasn't like a refreshing, oh, here comes some wind. Nice. It felt like someone had turned on a fan and left an oven door open and it was blowing on you.
Yeah.
It was like, what the hell is this?
Anyway, thank goodness it's over. I hope it's over. At least it broke yesterday and this morning we woke up and even though it's beautiful and sunny outside, it's still only going to be in the 30s, which is all like...
I know. That we
it's
have
so funny. Last night, it was not cold out last night at all. And we're all walking around. It's still in the high 80s at night. Like it's still, or the, you know, like 26, 27 at night, 25. And we're all walking around in sweatpants.
I know. We have a Dutch family here. And the little 11-year-old said, Ashley, this is a hot day in Holland. I said, I know.
We were all freezing last night. So it's just funny. It's even though it's just normal summer now, it just feels like, oh, everyone, the chickens stopped laying. We had a bunch of chickens that died of heat stroke.
In a week, about 3 or 4. Yeah, just we'd find them dead in the coop from overnight and they just got too hot.
We're thinking. You could see it happening to them. They'd kind of stammer around and they just have this look like they just look drunk.
One I think I saved afterlife. She kept going back into the coop. This was one of the things to watch because I started looking it up again. This hasn't happened in years. And it can be that they're not getting some nutrients. Like they're just dehydrated basically. And they don't, they kind of sweat more like a dog. Like their mouth is open and they open up their armpits and walk around. And there's plenty of shade. They like to nest and make these like dirt baths or with sand and it cools them off.
We have water everywhere.
Water's everywhere. And this one hen just kept going back to the coop and would sit in the little laying boxes. And it was like, oh, nope, that's not a good sign. She's normally out walking around. So I'd pick her up, take her out and dunk her in the water. And then she'd go back in a couple minutes later. It was like, do it again. Did it two or three times. And then finally I just took her up toward the house where all the rest of the chickens were with everyone else and put her next to the water. It was like you had to like get her out of it. She was like zoning out or something. And but they are still so stupid because you have to show them where the water is constantly. Like
it never moves.
Splashing it and stuff. There's one or two that are smart. They hear the water pour. They come running. Other ones walk around it. They'll drink the dribbles off the side, but they'll never put their head in the bowl. You're like, you guys are idiots. But wrangling and raising chickens, it's part of the life.
We have definite water emergencies around. It's all over the paper. The stream, the river is starting to dry up. It's getting to be where it's not really running. There's just little pools. We need rain.
Yep.
That's the big topic around here these days is there is no water.
Well, or it just misses us. So I feel like for the first time, when it's got to be like in Texas or parts of Australia, when you're starting to go through these droughts and it's like,
where it gets scary
and these storms come and you're thinking, thank God, but they just pass you or you get just a couple drops, but not enough to do anything. So, and we get then, it's hysterical because people will email us, what should I pack for my trip at the end of September? It's like, I don't know. Why don't you email me right before you leave? Because this has been one of the hottest years. Or just layer. I don't know. Just pack like a normal person.
All this heat has brought, if I can keep enough water on them, the tomatoes that do mature do really well. And we brought a couple of crates to our friends at Maquis, the gelateria in Fano, might be biased, but I think they make the best gelato in Italy.
Hot damn they do.
And they made a really nice Bloody Mary gelato. Sorbet.
I think so.
Bloody Mary sorbet to go with a Moscow Mule sorbet.
She said it sold out right away.
I'm sure.
I love it. That sounds so good. I wish we could have had it.
Spicy and salty.
I'm a sucker for Bloody Mary. And a Moscow Mule on a hot day like that, I'm sure would have been great. So it's really fun because – and it also it's kind of a guilty pleasure to have friends like that because we had already jarred and we had all these extra tomatoes that we were exhausted. It was so hot. We didn't feel like jarring more. And it was like, well, we don't want to lose them. Let's take them to Maki and they can make gelato or something with them. And we've done that with plums and tomatoes and cantaloupes or melons before.
It's a great excuse because it's only 45 minutes to be like, let's get the hell out of here for, you know, 2-3 hours. So,
and we get gelato.
And
we
get a scoop of gelato when we show up.
A scoop, let's be honest.
Yeah, we did. I did. I got a big waffle cone this time. And we get to see, we get to go and visit with them a little bit and just to get out of here for a couple of days.
Paolo and Antonio in Fano. It's our favorite, Maki.
Yeah, if you go by, check them out. Find them online, Maki, Maki Gelato.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a paid advertisement. They're awesome. It sells itself.
Just go.
Just walk in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was nice. It's always nice to that's really what the garden's about. It's about the garden's about sharing it with other people. Italian, you know, our neighbors always ask, "Oh, you should bring your extras down to the Frutta Vendolo and sell them." It's like, I don't want money for these. If first of all, it'd be insulting for what they'd offer me. All right. And you don't do this for money. You do it because I like it. I like doing it and I like seeing that they then turn the tomatoes that we grow into something else. And
it's really
rewarding and it's, I'm proud of it. So it's different. It's a really nice feeling.
It's sweet. Jason sends the guests home if they either have a car and they've got a kitchen where they're heading next or heading all the way home. If they're driving, he always sends them with cratefuls from the garden of whether it's whatever's the tomatoes
coming out.
Or
the lady who helps us clean and comes up every day, she goes home with cratefuls of, to me, that's what the garden's about. It's about sharing it with other people and just like cooking. I'm not really creative in any other ways, but I do like feeding people because I like eating and I like how it makes other people feel.
You're sweet.
Yeah. It's a Sunday. I know. Anything to procrastinate from doing work.
Exactly. Get over it. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Jason's had to water at, like, we've done a couple Facebook live videos of some of the tomato tips. Jason hates it when I call it growing tips. And also growing in the heat, what he's been doing. And he's been having to water, like, 2 hours at night and, one if he can, two in the early morning, before it just gets too hot. And so yesterday with a little bit of rain, it was meant we could really have a Sunday morning and you didn't have to go down to the garden right away.
Also, it's really difficult during this heat wave to do any work during the day, to be outside and doing work. So, you know, we try to get everything done by 9:30, 10. And then if I have a cooking class, I have a cooking class. But if not, then you kind of have to lay low and shut everything up and kind of.
Oh my gosh. And imagine if we were living in a city.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. It'd be like,
I've seen pictures of Rome or Florence. Oh,
gross.
My God, it looks horrible. So if you are coming to Italy, well, hopefully the heat has broke, but,
I never understood people who want to go to those cities in the middle of July and August. You guys,
oh,
it is,
God,
like a
sweat fest.
It's a sweat fest. It's packed. There's,
yeah, because, well, tell them why it's like an oven. Literally.
Oh, well, it's stone. You're talking about cities with stone walls made out of stone. It's literally like a fornalena, like a wood oven. You're just, the heat, the sun just bakes that stone and the stone holds it all night long.
Yep.
So at least here it's, yes, it's 43, 46, whatever it is during the day, but at night with a fan, it's not cool, but it's comfortable. Like, you can sleep with a fan. You don't need air conditioning because we're a little higher. And once the sun goes down, it's just green around us. It's just fields and streams and trees. So the heat dissipates really quickly. Not so much in the cities.
No.
Good luck. Gross.
So, speaking of the cities and fauna and whatnot.
We didn't ever said anything about fauna.
We were talking about Maki.
Oh, Maki. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So when we went to deliver the tomatoes.
I'm such a dick.
I'm trying to segue.
I know, I blew you up.
I know. We stopped at, there's like a superstore. There's a kind of two big superstores, Hypercoop and
Auchan.
I think it's Auchan.
Auchan?
Auchan, but we call it Auchan. A-U-C-H-A-N. Auchan. And it's a big, kind of like a Target-esque.
It's a big superstore.
It's a big superstore, grocery store, clothes, some stuff like that. And they've been doing this big remodel, and it has been cracking us up because we've been very confused about the whole thing because they are they're building a new structure right next door, and they built this massive parking lot first and foremost. I don't know why the parking lot's always first, but it all started with the new roundabout, and we knew something was coming because we said, what's going on? Why did they put this roundabout here? Anyway, they've been slowly stripping
the old building,
the old building, to build the new building. And whenever you go in, you have no idea what is going to be gone next because they took away the ceiling, the drop ceiling.
Then it was like wiring.
Yeah.
Then it was like
shutting half of the, like, grocery store down.
Yeah. Pretty soon, we think the next time we go there, you'll have to get the stuff in one building, walk over to the other to where all the cash registers now have been moved. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because there was one time we went and they were like, oh, we're not taking any credit cards, or I don't know. It was just like,
anyway,
it's a mess.
It's a mess. But what they did is they redid the one part of the store, which is where the fresh fruits and vegetables, the baked bakery, the
fish,
and the butcher's was. And here's what's really interesting. I've noticed in the last few years, as Italy, big stores like this go to remodel, they are taking more of the North American model of layout. What do I mean by that? Well, they took the fruits and vegetables and that section chopped it in half. So there's half, before there
we're talking grocery store real estate.
Grocery store, floor space.
Floor space.
So they took the fruits and vegetables that used to just be on fruit and vegetable crates, just huge mounds of zucchini, huge mounds, like all
loose.
Yeah,
it had, it wasn't necessarily like the best, but it was all Italian, and it was always, it kind of just looked like a big
farmer's market
warehouse feel.
Tons of it, like tons. So they cut that in half, and instead of just being on fruit crates now, they put them in pretty baskets, and it looks good.
It has that Whole Foods, Trader Joe,
fancy
organic crate feel.
But there's only half of it there.
Stripped down.
Then they put in, there used to be no prepackaged fruits and vegetables. Nothing in a package. You had to weigh everything. It was all loose. You picked through it. Italians love to pick through the fruits and vegetables. Now a lot of it is prepackaged.
There's the super swanky packaged produce
in the coolers
that are these gorgeous. We thought, what the hell is this? I mean, Italians always made fun of Americans for having prepackaged washed lettuce, saying, how do you not have time to wash your own lettuce at Ragazzi Dai? Now it's happening.
It's happening. What else happened? They cut the butcher, which used to be a huge butcher area where, three, four people, guys behind there. Now it's half the size and twice as much prepackaged meat. The fish got absolutely hacked into nothing.
The fish had the whole back end of the grocery store.
It was huge. Uh-huh. And now it's hardly anything. But what expanded the most was the pre-prepared foods, the grab-and-go foods, the pre-packaged, ready-to-eat foods.
What they had, they always had a little forno, a bread and an oven in the back, and just some baguettes and stuff. I don't know, nothing that great. But now they put that at the front and on display and have the pizzas. They have, like Jason was saying, the prepared foods. These are things that we have not
seen
here.
It was a lot of Whole Foods
exactly
that you had to then go home and prepare with a little bit of it. Listen, anyone who lives in North America or any most
thinking
of Europe,
what do you think a grocery store looks like?
Yeah, it's just that for us, that you've now seen, we've had the chance to be here now 10 years, so we've seen it go from, we came from America where this was already there, and then to come to Italy to be, it's kind of nice how the old school way is, and how, there's a produce section. It's huge, and it's just produce. It's not bananas in plastic. And you go to Holland and peppers, there's three peppers in a bag. And what if one of them looks, I don't know.
The thing that's ironic is that for years we've been frustrated at times that you can't find anything prepared, grab and go. We're just so hungry. We just want something easy at times. And now that it's starting to get here, it's no, don't do it.
So,
like Jason said, it was always, you had Whole Foods, you'd have to go home and prepare. And it always meant you had to plan your meal. And a quick and easy dinner wasn't always so quick and easy at times, because you had to, there wasn't anything really, just grab and go. And that is what is changing.
That's what's changing a lot. So it makes us think that I kind of feel a little bit like in Back to the Future, where not Marty McFly. What was the name of the other guy?
The nerdy one?
No.
Oh, Biff?
Biff, yeah. Where Biff steals the DeLorean and gives himself the sports almanac, and then goes back and makes all the bets so he can become rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we've already...
That's in Back to the Future 2.
Is it 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like we've already seen what's going to happen, and it's like, don't.
I know.
Don't do it.
I know. So it's just an interesting kind of social, observation.
Observation. And, I mean, it's pretty logical that, this is basically the layout of a grocery store in most of Europe and other parts of, and most of North America. It's just sad. It's just kind of nice that you're seeing one of the last cultures that really loves real good food, that they're being pushed towards this more prepared process thing. And I'm sure it goes more back to the social fabric of the country, and that now you have to have two incomes, and the older generation who's taking care of the kids is getting older and now can't take care of the kids. So the parents don't have time, because the grandparents would have cooked the dinner. I don't know. I'm not a sociologist, but
no.
I am I am a guy who does a lot of grocery shopping. And I do notice what's going on.
And stylistically, it's interesting to choose to go with the what before was looked industrial in the sense of there was
it was nothing, function over
it
form.
It was function over form 100%. Those huge plastic
green
deep crates that were just stacked on top of each other, waist high, filled with produce.
Yeah, like the ones they draw. You see them when you drive along the autostrada. They're the big green crates that they just drop in the fields.
Yeah, just massive.
They just put them upside down, and
that's what you would pick through. And now, it like we were saying, there's so much less available at the store, but the presentation of it, it's just very ironic that now that it looks organic, it's probably not. Or you know what I mean? That they're trying to make it look now wholesome, but it's taken the complete...
It's function over form.
It's a bummer.
Whatever the inverse is. It's early.
It is early.
Let's see. We haven't done in a while. We haven't talked about Piobico or local gossip going around Piobico. And we got some juicy ones here this week. We've collected them over the last few weeks. So some of them might be a little bit dated, but you don't know. So it doesn't matter.
No, I think doing a local gossip section would be hysterical. Maybe we'll even get some intro music. Do-do-do-do.
No. Yeah. So let's start with the first one, the funeral you went to the other day.
Ah, yes.
I guess this isn't gossip. This is
no, but this is still interesting. So down at the end of our, if you take a right out of our driveway and go about another 2 kilometers down our dirt road, you end at a little tiny cemetery and church, and then you can head towards Apecchio or Sant'Angelo and hit paved road. So at the end of that road, there's a old woman who passed away. We know the family, so it was just good to go pay the respects and be a good neighbor and all of this. Well, this woman was like, I think she was 94. And she'd been bedridden for years, so this was not a big surprise or whatnot. But they picked the little tiny church chapel, if you will, that is right at the end of our road. And it's so very sweet. And it's teeny, teeny, tiny. But they open the doors and a bunch of the little people from the area come and the neighbors and a few family members and things like that. And I don't know, maybe there was about 50 people there. Well, halfway into the funeral, they almost had to stop the funeral because another oldie passed out. It was so damn hot that people, they were dropping like flies. And I thought, oh my God, she's taking them with her.
And of course, for some reason, these churches never have any moving air.
What's it
about a church restricts the movement of air? And they, none of them have a fan.
No.
I've never seen a church with either a portable fan, God forbid a ceiling fan, but... Why? Why do they not want people to breathe?
No fan, but it definitely had a incredible hand-blown glass chandelier from Murano. And I was like, what is this doing in here? God, she was trying to force me to go sit inside. And I was like, no, I'm just going to stand right here at the door. There was a teeny breeze. So sure enough, the guy passes out. God, she has to come out as the doctor and observe and all of this. Then... not but 10 minutes later, a crucifix falls off the wall. It almost hits another guy in the head. And it was like, oh my God. It was just, I don't know. There was a lot of action going on in that tiny little church with me. And I was definitely the youngest by, I don't know, 30 some odd years. So it was there was a little murmur of a bunch of the oldies knew who we were because we've lived here for 10 years. But then the other half who were from Apecchio or the next town over is like, who's that girl? What is she doing here? And then we walk all together, just down the, across the street, to the cemetery. Yeah. And the men go first, then the hearse, then the women. And it was crazy because I've never seen this before. First of all, the cemetery is this, as weird of it as it is to say a sweet cemetery, but it's a sweet little cemetery that,
Hold on, back that up because Italians really like cemeteries.
This is one.
It's not weird, but it's interesting.
I was walking with Rosanna and she was like, don't you love this cemetery? And I was like, I've never been in it. She was like, it's so beautiful. And she loves to just go visit cemeteries, but this was really beautiful inside, especially for being at the end of this dirt road in the middle of nowhere. And it really was dedicated to 3 different families that live along the road, which was very touching to see. And you see this history of these families played out in front of you. And what was also very curious is we bring the body in and or the casket in. The priest says another blessing. And they had the cement, mortar, everything right there. They put the guy in the tomb. In the wall.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't underground.
This is not underground. This is mausoleum style.
Yeah, you slide them in.
They slid that body straight on in and just started shellacking it closed right there. I was like, oh my God, this is happening like right now. I thought, they didn't wait for anyone to leave just to start like mixing the cement and stuff. And so it was. That I had never seen that before because we've gone to other Italian funerals, but either they're going into the ground for a bit or maybe they're going in, but
well,
we didn't
other
see
ones
them close.
No, the other ones we've been to are quite large. Like there was hundreds
True.
And hundreds of people.
So maybe it was that
I
also.
Think there's no messing around. This is these are country people, baby. Mm-hmm. We have the funeral and
let's do it.
Let's do it.
So that was interesting. It was good to go and be the representation for our little house. And
well, tell me about most of the men didn't even go into the...
Oh, most of the men didn't go in. The women all went in and they had their...
Well, you got to explain it. It's a funeral is mass.
Yeah.
I don't think you explained that.
It's in a church. Sorry. Maybe I didn't explain that.
Didn't explain
that. I guess I assumed it. I'm sorry. Yes. So they hold mass in a church, in a little church, and they do the whole full mass and the communion and everything. And all the old ladies go in. They've got their little fans, and they're quickly, fanning themselves. And the men stand outside. Now, first they all start close to the door like they're paying attention, and then they slowly step back, and then they just start gossiping. And it's like, it was hysterical because I thought, what's going on? Why aren't they participating in this funeral? And it was just interesting to see these little groups of oldies, and no one is really dressed up. Everyone's just in their kind of jeans or farming outfits. And
how about when you heard the ding?
Oh yes. So sometimes for a funeral, you don't have to do the full mass, meaning with the Eucharist, with the body of Christ. And I grew up Catholic and going to mass a lot. And as soon as you hear that ding a ling a ling a ling,
hold on, you gotta explain. What's the ding a ling a ling?
That's what I'm telling him. Okay. It's a little bell that either the altar server or the other priest will do. And it's for me, it is like the Pavlovian signal. Oh, here we go. We're going full mass. Settle in. This is going to be a bit longer. And it was also interesting because only the diehard oldies went up for communion. Where, like, I noticed Gaji's wife, Rosanna, she's Catholic, and I know she goes to mass, but she didn't go up. And I think that they are so hardcore in this little area that it's like if you didn't go to confession to say you hadn't been to mass, then you can't go and have the communion. So it was just interesting to see these little... I had these flashbacks to Catholic school and going, oh my gosh. So it was kind of sweet at the same time.
Other local gossip. Oh, this might not... You probably won't care. Any of you will care about this. But this has made my life so easy. There's a gas station in Urbana that is the one I always go to because the guy who works there is awesome. He just takes pride in what I really like people who take pride in their jobs and are good at their jobs. And this guy works at this gas station, and you see some guys who work at the gas station sit on a stool, read the paper, and don't do shit all day long. This guy is always hustling. Every time I drive by, he's cleaning the pumps. He's like wiping down the pumps. He's washing cars and detailing cars on the side. He's sweeping around. Like, it's a few cents more compared to the like cheapy one, but I go to this guy because I just respect the fact that this guy cares about what he does. Anyway, one of the worst parts about their place is the machine for your debit or credit card. It was old. It literally took forever. Like, you'd sit there, you'd have to make a decision.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I'd have to think, do I need to get gas? Okay, I'm not going to get $5 worth. I fill it up. So I'm going to use my debit card. But do I really have time to sit here and wait for that thing to stare at me and say processing for what seems like 3 years? No hyperbole. It would be an absurdly long amount of time. So the other day I'm talking with him. I stick my card in the little machine and in literally 8 seconds, it says, which pump do you want? And I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. what's going on? And he smiles real big and goes, you like it? I go, yeah, what happened? He goes, the machine that we had here was 31 years old. It was the first machine, first credit card itself. You know, what do they have in every single gas station in the world? The first one in the area. And they've never changed it out.
Never.
And it worked. So why change it out? But I guess who the hell knows?
That thing should be like a historical site.
They should put it in a museum.
That is just so funny.
So there you go. So now when I go and use my card, it takes, you know, the normal amount of time to process. So that has made my life. That has been a turning point in my life. If I had a diary, I would write that in. Dear diary, today the gas station got a new POS machine, and oh, happy days.
Listen, these are hot topics happening in town.
When you live in the middle of nowhere, this is a big deal. I know there's like riots going on. People are fighting like race riots. But listen, there's a new POS machine at the Urbana SO.
And that's what's happening here.
Other things. Let's talk about horrible.
Oh, wait. Here's a funny one. Just cracks me up. Other local news. Our dear friend, big happy birthday, bon compleanno, to our sweet neighbor, Carolyn, who's turned 70. Many of you guys, if you've been out here, have met Carolyn. She is hysterical. She's our Dutch neighbor who's lived here for 10 years as well. She's in the local choir. She's just very funny, and the way she speaks English is great, but she'll say funny phrases and things. And
she's very blunt about some things.
Blunt about things. And we were saying, oh yes, some guests were curious about there's a Americans universities, like throughout the States that send students, to both Piobico or Banya around our area to do opera courses, for university students. And they learn Italian and they get to sing in these beautiful locations and castles and churches and stuff. It's a cool, program. And I said, some guests were asking, it's the last week, do you know the information of the choir or the concert for the opera? And she said, oh yes. It's going to be on Saturday or something. And she was like, oh, but do not go with any expectations. They are horrible. She goes, I was in town the other day and I could hear them and it was just horrible.
She goes, I know they're students, but they were horrible.
It was just so funny because she's so sweet and she's adorable.
And they love
love music. And she just saying how terrible. Go with any expectations.
I think she was so disappointed about how bad it was that it was like, oh, come on.
She was like, I thought they were studying this. It was just...
Okay.
So that's now we've got some hot news.
Okay, so here's a little bit of hypocrisy, politicians in Italy and hypocrisy. We're not going to name names because, I mean, if you did a little Google search on this, you could find out who this is in about 2 seconds. But there is a local politician who's a mayor of one of the local towns around here whose family also has gotten into housing refugees. Now, if you've seen anything in the news about the refugee crisis going on in Italy, agriturismos houses have opened up. They're being paid by the government to house refugees. Now, there's been good parts and bad parts. Some people are great and treat them great. Other people pack the refugees in because they get paid per head. So if you can pack 50 people into your house and get away with it, you get – or, you know, if there's only – if 8 people should live in your house, but you can pack 25, then you get more. You know what I mean? It's you're making money off the backs of a horrible situation. So anyway, this local politician, his family runs 3 houses that have refugees in them. Okay, you know, maybe they're helping out. Maybe they're whatever. I don't know their motives. Here's what I do know: the guy comes out and writes a manifesto anti-immigrant. Their family made €500,000 off the backs of refugees last year. And why would you – and now you're coming out as anti-immigration and blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not being political. I don't have – this is way too complicated for us to understand, or we don't have a solution.
This is just part
anything.
Of our do-do-do-do local gossip section.
Yeah. I'm just the observer. All I know is here's a guy whose family made €500,000 off of housing refugees and then turns around and writes a manifesto for the paper and Facebook about anti-immigration. Don't get it. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Especially in small towns.
Small towns would be one thing if you're the mayor of Rome and your family's from blah, blah, blah. Everyone knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're the only family in the area who has a ton of refugees because you're politically connected. And it's a dole. It's a payout. They're making money off the state for... I don't know. It's a tough situation. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to start talking about it because I don't know enough. I'm an idiot. I don't want to discuss it.
Well, we should change the subject on that.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
But that's Italy, man.
It is.
It's unfreaking believable. And then you see this guy in town and you're like, are you an idiot? Like, what are you talking about? And so I asked Gaggi about it, and he said, that's Italian politics. They're all full of shit. Like, they're all too – but it's so obvious. How, like, at least have a little couth and try to, like, be formidable, a little cunning about – he's like, no. That's the arrogance. That's the ridiculousness. So there you go. That's Italy politics.
Oh, speaking of Italian ridiculousness, we've mentioned how we've been house hunting for the next Agriturismo, and I found a property that we were going to go look at, and I had spoke to the owner like a week ago, said whatever, we were going to touch base again before we came out to look at the house for the second time, and I just wanted to follow up and make sure everything was on and if anything had changed. And she said, I just wanted to make sure you knew that we're only looking to sell or rent half the house. I said, what? This is like a huge agriturismo with like 6 apartments, a restaurant, all of this, plus a whole nother living quarter. Now, why? And it's not living quarters that are detached and
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, you get this side of the property and we're just
kind of down a half a driveway or something like that. Or even.
No, all attached.
No, it's attached. She made sure to say attached numerous times. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, we're staying in the living side. We're just selling or renting the other side. And I thought, what? How do you do that? How do you stay there? How do you expect someone else to come in and run a business? I don't understand at all. And I was just never mind. Thank God we didn't waste our freaking time.
So here's what she wants to do. The owners want to rent out the apartments but still live in the house. So they're not going anywhere. All their crap's there. All their
dog and
their
kennel.
Dogs and all that stuff. But they just want us to
run the business.
Run the business and pay them for it, which doesn't make sense to me because I can't run a business with you guys
living there
because that's not really how our guests. Okay, you're our guest. Would you want to come to the Agriturismo you're staying at? And there's just some. I don't know. It wouldn't work. It's just because of the way the house is laid out. It's like, no, it's not a separate structure. If they were a separate structure on one side of the property, be like, okay, we can talk about, you know, do we like these people? Maybe we could do this. But not when you're like in the same house.
No. And in fact, this is not a standalone situation. We've had either other people say that same thing and down our road, again, take a right out our driveway, head towards that little cemetery. And Basilio's place.
Oh, they split that one right down the middle.
Split it right down the goddamn middle. The grass, everything. It is hysterical. And it's not big. It's a tiny little,
oh
not
God.
Tiny.
Do you want to hear awesomeness? So a lot of these farmhouses are owned by family members together. So everyone orders a portion. So if they have a falling out or one person wants to sell, but the other won't buy or whatever, they'll just whack the house in half. This is exactly what they did. They built another front door next to the real front door. They put a fence that went from the drive all that touched right in between the two, split the front yard in half. It's the oddest thing, and sold half the house.
Yeah, it's like one.
I don't know.
I don't even understand.
I don't understand. I don't know if they put a wall down the middle of the house or what, but when you walk in, is it to the second door, the new front door that's right next to the old front door? Is there a wall?
I don't know. This is common. Gaggi was like,
comical.
Yeah, what's wrong, Grazi? Like, yeah.
It's absolutely comical. It's like you split the house in half, but you didn't, like, separate the two sides.
Well, or it makes you rethink the next time you see a Vendacy sign, a for sale sign.
Yeah, how much of it? I didn't know you can whack up one property into, like...
And we're not talking like a duplex here.
No. This was a house with a front door, a normal house that they just literally stuck to the left of it, another front door and another little steps to go up to it and put a fence down the middle of between the two front doors.
What else do you want them to do?
I don't know. We might have to take a picture and throw it up.
It's awesome online.
If you guys want to...
The other great part is that when whoever will cut their side of the lawn...
That's right.
Side isn't, but it's so such a small front yard for being out here in the countryside. It's like, dude, it's three passes. Just do this. The other.
Well, it's now there's a fence in between, but it looks more odd because it's not two separate areas.
No.
It's one area that they just put a fence down. So it just looks like, think of if you gave someone with long hair a buzz cut on half their head,
mm-hmm.
but the other half of their head, it has still the long
just
hair.
Totally parted down the middle.
Yep. Weird. Anyway, love it.
Local gossip.
What else? Oh, I finally broke down and bought myself a KitchenAid machine, what is known as a planetary mixer. Why a planetary mixer, Ashley?
It's because of the orbital rotation.
It turns and it orbits.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So a KitchenAid is what is a KitchenAid
mixer? How does a plane fly?
The KitchenAid or the kitchen machine is what's called an orbital mixer, and I finally broke down and bought myself one because KitchenAid came to – I don't know. I've just seen it now. They started making 220-volt motors for Europe, and the KitchenAids used to be like €700-800 when they first came here, but then I saw on Amazon, whoa, it's on sale, like $200-something.
Finally was like a normal-ish price.
So I got one. Now, I haven't used a KitchenAid since I left the professional kitchen in the States, and these machines used to be bulletproof.
Like, not to mention there's like a nostalgic feel to them. Like it was like, oh, we were so excited to get one. You know, you hadn't used one in years. It makes me think of being a kid and making cookies.
You know, my grandma had one that you every kitchen I've worked in has at least one.
The weight to pick it up.
It weighs a ton. It's all metal. It's got a huge stainless steel bowl that's bulletproof. It's got big chunky whip, big chunky paddle, big chunky hook. And it's just a staple in the professional kitchen. And it's a lot of people have them at home as well. Anyway, so when I got it out of the box, I was really excited. And I start using it. And let me tell you, this thing has become a piece of crap. The fit and finish is terrible. These used to be you move the handle on this thing, it used to go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
It felt like it was locked into place. Yeah,
indentation. Now you can. There's so much play in that thing. It's ridiculous. The stainless steel bowl that used to be like a thick piece of stainless steel is now feels like you can. If you really wanted to, you can bend the bowl with your hands.
Yeah, the stupid IKEA stainless steel bowls are better.
Mm-hmm. The motor, when it goes under load, instead of having power and being smooth, it's constantly trying to find a constant speed. So you put it under load and it'll start out, and then you'll hear it on most of the speeds. You'll hear it searching. So like speeding up and slowing down. It doesn't have good control of the voltage or so. I don't know. Someone with electrical engineering would know what I'm talking about. So it's not a constant nice speed. And then there's six different speeds to choose from. Well, the first three are basically the same. And then you go from five to six and it goes from a medium speed, just super hot. There's no graduation of there's a speed control problem in the motor, probably because they cheaped out on the motor. The fit and finish is terrible. Where the two pieces of clamshell for the body come together don't fit up properly. There was a place where they didn't round off one of the edges. There was from the mold, so there was a little not mold like moldy, but the mold that they make the stand in. So I had to go and file it down because otherwise it's sharp. It'll cut you. The paint isn't done good. Their own logo was put on, like on the side where they put KitchenAid, the little band. That thing's freaking crooked. It just piece of shit from top to bottom, and so disappointing.
That was it. It's so disappointing.
Yep, so disappointed. Now, I don't know what I expect yet. So for 259 or 289 euros, what do I want? But I don't know. I just remember KitchenAid being something that you could just, you know, it could go through war,
mm-hmm.
and that thing will still turn on. So a little bit disappointing. I don't know. Do you have a kitchen? Have you bought one recently? I mean, this is brand new 2017 KitchenAid, and it is.
Not to mention the, like you were saying with the feeling of the motor, it doesn't, instill any confidence that it will keep going or put any load to work. Like when you've tried to do...
I tried making pizza mm-hmm. dough because I was like, oh, it'd be nice not to have to knead my pizza dough by hand because it's freaking... it's 1,000 degrees in my kitchen. No, that thing is under any sort of load at all. And I'm not... And you used to be... Man, you could not burn... You could not... torque out a KitchenAid machine. I mean, it would push through everything. And this thing would just... I don't know. Piece of shit. So, I don't know. Do you have a kit? Have you bought one? Let me know if you agree with me, disagree. Maybe they're cheaping out for the European models. I have no idea, but...
We should go to AVE and see if he does a test. Mm. Your YouTube guy who checks if it chooches and takes apart these things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they had a... If, what's going on, but piece of shit. So disappointed. Yes.
So there's the anti-recommendation or Jason's kitchen two cents today.
Well, no, you know what though? If I found a used KitchenAid on like a Craigslist or a Marketplace or one that was beat up and old, I would much rather buy that beat up and old one, clean it up, than buy a new one today. Isn't that interesting?
I think that's the way it is for most of these tools,
yeah.
No?
It's unfortunate. Anyway. I know. We've been really negative on this
have
podcast.
Have we? Oh, bummer.
Well, let's listen to it. Sean, we talked about how we hate the new style of the grocery store, the heat, the funeral, local gossip, and the KitchenAid. That's all negative.
Oh my God, it is.
Do you have anything you want anything positive we can end on?
I'm trying to think what's, I don't know if anything positive. That's horrible. We're positive people. We have one spot left for the consulting workshop. That's a great thing.
Oh my God.
No, the heat broken. I'm ready for, I think because it's been so long and hot, I'm ready for fall. This morning, it being in some sweats and a little cooler air. Oh, here's a positive thing. Football season is starting. Go Seahawks.
Well, there you go. We'll end on that. NFL football. All right.
Oh, someone, maybe can you explain what the pasta chitara is? I posted a picture the other day. Like, what is that machine?
Pasta alla chitara, yeah. Is just a pasta. They call it a guitar pasta because the contraption that you make it, which is a rectangle of wood with metal strings, just looks like a guitar strings. That's what you push the pasta through, and they come out looking like just strings of a guitar as well.
You roll it through.
You roll the pasta into a sheet first, and then you press the pasta through these guitar strings, and that's what cuts it.
All right, that's great. We'll probably put a that recipe wasn't, up.
I don't know if that was really a positive feel good. So you don't have any positive human interest, huh? No, not really. Our cats, the heat broke, so our cats all came back into and slept with us last night.
I'm like, well, we should just wrap this up before we decide
bore
to scrap
ourselves.
It. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, bring us home.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our pretty negative one this week, podcast from Italy. Hopefully next week we'll be, well, who am I kidding? It's not going to be next week, but the next time we'll be back at it.
Holy crap.
Oh, we laugh, we joke, we have a good time. Yes, you can find us at latavolamarche.com for our farm, inn, and cooking school. Join us this autumn for 2-night, 3-night, 5-night. Just come on out. Come cook. Come forage for mushrooms, truffles. We'll see how it goes, but there's going to be some great festivals, and you can always go to Mushroom Hunt. And one of our neighbors has created a... What do you call it, what Roberto did exactly? He made like a truffle, like a... He created like a little arboretum, a little wooded area on his property of the type of trees needed to create.
Yeah, he didn't really cultivate mushrooms, but he put in place the type
cultivate.
Of trees that tend to have the stimulate the mushroom, the truffles, and then he inoculated it with, I think, with truffles over the last few years to see if they jumpstart. So he's not. It's not like you plant tomatoes and tomatoes grow,
no.
But you can kind of make the conditions correct.
But what he did, which is really sweet, is to go truffle hunting. A lot of guests, people want to go mushroom or truffle hunting, but they don't realize this is off-road hiking. This is not you follow a trail or you're on the road. This is you are...
Yeah, it's not Disneyland.
No. You are like really off hiking, going down the sides of ravines in the woods, going up the edge of creeks and rivers and things.
Crit.
And so he knew that that's not feasible for everyone, or maybe they don't have the time. So he created this right on his property at his inn. And you can go and walk through this kind of simulation, if you will, of what it's like to go truffle hunting. So it's kind of a neat thing. That's a nice little positive story. Anyway.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. You can send us an email for a reservation or a question, or just to say hello at info@letavalamarque.com. Ashley's self-esteem is directly tied to the number of likes and follows she gets on Instagram and Facebook. So please make sure to help Ashley out and keep her feeling good about herself.
The funny thing about this is any of the videos we post, Jason fast forwards me in them to watch himself. So I don't know if it's true.
That is not true.
It is true.
Listen, do I have any social media pages?
None.
All right, there you go. That's all.
You're a troll.
I'm a troll. So please help Ashley's self-esteem by liking, following, and commenting on Latavola Marque or Ashley Bartner on Instagram, No Half Measures on Instagram, and Latavola Marque and Ashley Bartner on Facebook. I kid. I don't like the social media, but I realize it's a necessary evil of the modern era, and without that, we would not have a business. So while I kid you, I understand. You're doing it for the cause, baby.
I do, and I do love it. All right, have a great week, you guys.
Thank you guys so much. Ciao. Take care. It's the dog days. It's almost spring will be, or spring. Fall will be here before you know it. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time. Ciao.